Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, sorry. Let's start again, shall we? The days are surely coming, says the Lord.
When I will rise up for David a righteous branch.
And he shall reign as king and deal wisely.
He shall execute justice and righteousness all in the land.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are
rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the
The first reading is from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 46 responsively with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, you will not hear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake and part of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns.
The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The second reading is from Colossians, the first chapter. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A man we call Christ our King on this Christ the King Sunday. It's curious then that this might be the Gospel reading for Christ the King Sunday, unless, of course, we understand who Christ our King really is. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
Our Lord and our King. What kind of king dies on a cross? This is the King of the Jews. Below this makeshift sign hangs the nearly lifeless body of a bloodied and broken man. The mob who all but sentenced him to death is still in a frenzy. They require blood on this day. They need to see this good old-fashioned public execution to its end. So of course they have followed Jesus and these criminals up this hill, pushing and prodding him, jeering and mocking him, all along this brutal and humiliating path to the place where everyone has just accepted, yep, up here, right there on that hill, this is the place where we just torture and execute people for fun. This place called the skull, this place of death. The nails, they tear through the flesh of this so-called king. The mob, it cheers, and the waiting begins because, you know, wouldn't be a good execution if it went right away. You gotta torture them for a while. The mob's thirst for blood, it will be satisfied. It will be satisfied before the day is through. For the benefit of any would-be followers of Jesus who might be left and lurking on the edge of this horrific scene, the mob, it ridicules, "Look at your king now, some Messiah he is, can't even save himself." Doubts, I'm sure, they flood into the minds of Jesus' followers. If I was a follower of Jesus out there at the cross seeing this happen, perhaps I too would say, maybe this isn't the Messiah I was waiting for. The religious leaders, they have finally prevailed against this imposter, Jesus, who has been causing them so much trouble, and they scoff at him. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah, the chosen one of God." The Roman soldiers, they too have their fun. This is a game to them, after all. Oh, but it's more than a game, this public execution. It's both a game and a message to any other would-be kings out there in the crowd. If you're really the king of the Jews, then go on, save yourself, as they offer him some sour wine. Even one of the criminals joins his voice with the mob's. Sorry, I'll yell less loud. So absurd is it to him that this man, the one hanging there, right there beside him, this Jesus, beaten and battered, scorned and rejected, is the so-called king, a king that is to save and redeem Israel. How? From a cross? This man, him, the king of the Jews, cannot be our king. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and, oh, by the way, save us. Through it all, that inscription, it just remains above his head. This is the King of the Jews. This is a cruel joke, this sign. It's a joke meant to both humiliate this so-called king and to warn any future so-called kings what real power and real authority and real kings can do. Power belongs to those who are strong. Power belongs to those who wield swords and soldiers and armies. Power belongs to those who crucify, not to those who are crucified. Being crucified, that's for the weak. But this is the King of the Jews, reads the sign. Almost every voice on this hill, including the awful joke of a sign, has come together to proclaim, if this man is who he says he is, he will either climb down from that cross, or the kingdom that he proclaims to serve looks like this, looks like him, a beaten, broken, and battered man who is nailed to a cross. What if that's what his kingdom looks like? He didn't climb down from the cross, did he? So I guess we know what that kingdom might look like. It's a cross-shaped kingdom. What does a cross-shaped kingdom look like? With a king that shows up in the places of death and pain over and over again, and suffering over and over and over again to those who have been beaten and broken and battered over and over again. This is a king who does not climb down from that cross. This is a king who is instead enthroned on that cross. This is, as the sign mocks, the King of the Jews hanging there on that cross. This is our king. Christ is our king. That is what we proclaim. As the mob continues its derision and its mocking, its goading, there is one man, a very desperate man. A condemned man, a man with almost, he's got just a little bit of hope. After rebuking his fellow criminal for ridiculing Jesus, he turns and he pleads, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I wonder, I guess maybe I don't have to wonder real hard, I wonder what it would feel like to be so desperate, so condemned, to have lost so much hope that when we look upon a beaten and battered and broken man hanging on a cross, we say to this man, Jesus, you are my only hope. Or perhaps I, like you, don't really have to wonder what it's like to say this, what it's like to be lost and desperate and condemned and not worth it and at the end of all hope. Perhaps I don't need to wonder what it's like to feel that way. Perhaps I, like you, don't have to wonder what it's like to be consoled by a hope that only our King can offer. A hope only our King can speak into being, because that's what he does on that cross. He speaks a hope into being for that criminal and for all of us. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. That is what is being spoken into being on the cross. This is Jesus' answer. This is Jesus' answer. This is our King's answer. This is our God's answer to the earthly powers that have conspired to destroy him and the earthly powers of all times and of all places. Powers that conspire to enrich and glorify themselves, enrich and glorify. I don't think inglorify is a thing. To enrich and glorify themselves through amassing power and might, through thrones and positions of high authority, through threats, through real, actual violence and murder and wars. That's what earthly power looks like. Earthly rulers with their insatiable appetites for power. Well, there is an earthly power that even they can't grasp, even they can't hold on to, as hard as they try. Earthly rulers do not have the power to speak into being life. Sure, I guess they, like the Romans, they can do something. with life. They can exercise the power to take life. That's what they did to Jesus on the cross. But no earthly ruler, no emperor, no king or prince or prime minister or presidents can ever take our hope, even if they take our lives. Think about that. Because none, not one, could ever speak into being the promise that our King does. Today you will be with me in paradise. That is a promise that no earthly ruler can take away, and that's what sets our King above all earthly rulers. Jesus answers worldly power with a kingly authority that only he can, not with a power that threatens and crushes and destroys, but with a love that gives people hope. The love that gives hope to the hopeless. With a forgiveness for those who mock and deride. That's what our King does. Forgiveness for an angry mob, forgiveness for the soldiers, forgiveness for the religious authorities, forgiveness for the powerful, forgiveness for the criminals. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus answers the brutality of the cross with mercy. I say it again. Jesus answers the brutality of the cross with mercy. Mercy for us. That's right. For us who are both the condemning and the condemned. For us who are both the victims and the perpetrators. This is our God and this is our King. This is the only King who can answer brutality with mercy. What does it mean? What does it mean? I've said a lot about this King. What does it mean to belong to a King who did not climb down from that cross? What does it mean? What does it mean to belong to a King whose authority is made known in mercy, forgiveness, grace, and love, not in violence? Even for the condemners, even for the condemned just like us. What does it mean to belong to a King whose love is made known most fully in a place of humiliation and death, you know, like a cross? What does it mean to belong to this King? To belong to a kingdom and to a God who continues to show up in the places of humiliation and suffering and death. Who continues to show up in our places of humiliation and suffering and death. Continues to show up on the cross, not just once, but over and over and over again. He is crucified with us, suffering with us and for us, giving hope to us. The sinners, hope to the lost, hope to those who have been broken and beaten down by this life and by this world. Hope to those who seemingly have nowhere else to turn. What does it mean to call this man our King? What does it mean to belong to a King who speaks into being the promise, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? What does it mean to belong to a King who does not climb down from the cross, but instead is enthroned on it? Because that is our King's throne. What does it mean to call Christ our King? And most importantly, how does it change everything? Everything for this world, everything for me and for you. And how we live in this world. How does calling Christ our King change everything? Because the cross, it does change everything, right? Right? This is a world, and we are a people that desperately needs a King who shows up on a cross. And the impossibly good news of our God is that we have this King, that his name is Jesus, and his kingdom is breaking into the here and now, and it is for all of us. Christ is our King, and he changes everything. Amen. Amen.
ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What additional prayers are there to add to our prayers of intercession today?
Yes, ma'am.
Rosemary and her family. Her family and friends. She passed away on Wednesday.
Family and friends of Rosemary. And since we last gathered, I'm sad to announce that
Jean Hayes has passed away. Her funeral will be held here on Tuesday of this week at 11 a.m. Any additional prayers today? I thought I saw a hand in this general.
No.
Jerry?
Communities of Crestline and Tiffin.
So, if you did not know, there were two very gathered in one voice, we offer prayers for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need.
We pray for leaders and advocates in government, civic life, and public safety, especially in Gallia and across Crawford County. Align the hearts and minds of world leaders to remember the responsibility to our shared humanity. Grant them wisdom to end wars, to relieve suffering, and to bring swift aid to those caught in humanitarian disasters, especially in Sudan and Gaza. On this, Christ the King Sunday, remind us that Christ is the righteous branch of David and that he reigns above all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We pray for any who are hungry, living in poverty or desperation, weary in body or spirit, sick or grieving, especially the family and friends of Jean, the family and friends of Rosemary, for Kyle, for Jerry, for Marlene and Chloe, for the communities of Crestline and Tiffin, for those on our long-term and homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer lists, and for those that we lift to you either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Comfort all in need of your tender care. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give thanks for all who have died in faith, especially Jean Hayes. May we remember all the saints faithfully until we are gathered with you in the paradise you promised. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We offer these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your grace and unyielding love, through Jesus Christ, who is and remains our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace.
Thank you. All
right. When Adam's ready, I'm ready. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom as you teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
A meal for a king, meal fit for a king, prepared for us by a king. Come to the table where all are always welcome.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body.
The blood of Christ shed for you. 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 Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Grape juice.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Few announcements this morning. As I said, it is earlier during the prayers, it's with a heavy heart that I have to tell you that Jean Hayes died this week. Her funeral here will be on Sunday.
Tuesday.
Today's Sunday. So close. Tuesday at 11 a.m. The calling hours are at 9:30, and they will be here in our gathering area prior to the service. And then there will be a meal to follow the burial. On a lighter note, we made it through another entire church year. Next Sunday marks the beginning of Advent. And what does that mean? It means that I kind of, sort of let you celebrate Christmas a little bit early by putting up the decorations, but we're not singing any Christmas tunes yet. So you can listen to those on your own. You can break out the Mariah Carey if you must, as my kids have been doing a lot. Anyway, so please, if you're able to, stay after worship today, where we will begin, or will we begin and finish decorating our sanctuary for Advent, our Advent decorations. Also, if you are a catechism student, good news, you have catechism today. I will give you 30 minutes to help decorate, and then we will catechism it up. We have a Friendsgiving meal here on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. Any announcement to add to that?
Yes, the list out there for sign up to bring food is all filled out except for two items, and that is two turkeys. If anybody has an inclination to want to help fill that list out, two turkeys, and that is it. And
those would need to be here like real soon, right? Because you got to thaw them.
If they're not today. Frozen, please get it and just put it in the refrigerator. If it's already thawed, just put it in the fridge. Also,
if it's thawed, put it on the counter.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe my understanding of how cooking works isn't great. We call those blessings, not magic, Carl. Anyway, all right, any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Oh,
This dismissal requires instruction. I talk, you talk. Marty talks, you talk. I talk, you talk. You do the yellow, we do the white, okay? Christ reigns not with force, but with grace, love, with love, mercy, and grace.
We go to bear witness to his passion and reign.
Christ gathers all things into himself.
We go to witness signs of his reconciliation.
Christ ascends us in peace to love and serve our neighbor.
We will.